Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, March 6th. A Republican-led effort is making its way through the state legislature to change how the taxpayers' Bill of Rights is calculated to let Colorado keep more of its tax money it currently collects. As part of our weekly Capital Conversation series, Benta Berkland examines how the measure could free up millions of dollars for transportation, education, and health care, and why it faces an uphill political future in the GOP-controlled Senate.
I'm joined by John Frank, a reporter for the Denver Post, and Charles Ashby, a reporter for the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. Taper restricts state government growth to inflation plus population increases, and anything over that amount is supposed to get refunded to voters. This bill would change that Taper calculation. John, can you explain how it would work and how it would free up more money?
The main difference in the current calculation and the calculation under the bill is what it measures. So right now, Taber measures the cost of government, that is, the population that needs the services and the cost of providing those services. Under the bill, we would move to a personal income growth measure. Now, that's an economic indicator of growth. That is essentially an indication of how well the state's doing. And it does allow the state to index its spending to the overall economy.
Charles, there's a lot of support for that. People are saying, look, when our economy is growing and we're bringing in a lot of tax revenue from businesses and other people, why should we then have to refund it to voters when we have a lot of infrastructure and other needs in the state?
The thinking is that if people are making more money, then they can afford to not get as much back in a refund, or in this case, it would be probably no refund for a while, maybe 10 years, maybe we don't even know how long. And so it does offer a wider base in terms of raising the revenue cap, allowing the state to keep more money, and I think they're projecting up to $200 million a year over the next couple of years.
Democrats have supported trying to make changes to Taber to free up more money. This is a Republican-sponsored effort. Why is it still going to be pretty tough politically to pass?
The first time I heard about it was at least a decade ago when the Democrats had talked about doing this, and never, even when they had the House and the Senate and the governor's office, and never actually did it, I'm not sure why. But it's different this year because we have Republicans who are introducing the bills in the House and in the Senate, and it even got more Republican support, not much so far in the first committee. It's always going to be in trouble politically because the Republicans are always defending Taber and always saying that this is, you know, a cut into Taber. Taber is very, very popular. Politically speaking, nobody ever wants to touch it. What's disingenuous about a lot of the stuff that you see with this Taber stuff, Taber always says that you can put it on the ballot and let the voters vote for it. The problem is that there's no political will to put anything on the ballot. Just because people are afraid, politicians are afraid that they're going to be attacked just for even suggesting something that might be a tax increase.
It is interesting to see the sponsors of this bill, two rural Republicans, and what they're trying to do with this bill is send a statement that our rural communities are hurting and something needs to be done. Previous efforts to get more money to these communities to keep their hospitals open, to improve their roads, to improve their classrooms have failed. We talked about the hospital provider fee last year. This year it's Taber. And this fixes a fundamental one, and yes, a heavy lift. Taber's a third rail of politics in Colorado. You know, touch it at your own risk. But what we're seeing with this effort here is a new acknowledgement, a new, you could say, evolving mood when it comes to Taber that maybe 25 years after we pass this, it's not working how we intended. And that larger conversation, I think, is one of the most fascinating here because Colorado is a national model when it comes to tax and expenditure limitations because of this taxpayer's Bill of Rights.
And I think it has a better chance of passing, I think, in the atmosphere of this year, being a non-political year. And because of the leadership in the Senate, we have a couple of Republicans leading in the Senate who haven't shut the door to this as they have to other ideas right away.
In addition to this Taber debate we're having, you know, there's a complication with the transportation issue. Lawmakers are talking about sending something to voters to increase revenue for roads. Will they also send something to just increase overall budget revenue for other priorities as well? How much would roads get under Taber? There's a lot of competing factors here, and either the transportation measure or this Taber measure could easily go down because of that complication.
That was John Frank with the Denver Post, Charles Ashby with the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
Elected officials from Colorado and other Western states are urging the U.S. Senate to keep BLM rules limiting natural gas waste. Eric Galatis has the story.
More than 60 local elected officials from four western states are calling on the U.S. Senate to defend the Bureau of Land Management's natural gas waste rule adopted last year. The rule directing the oil and gas industry to capture gas lost through leaks, venting, and flaring on public lands is under threat after the U.S. House moved to roll it back. Steve Banowski with Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship says the rule shouldn't be tossed out just because it was enacted during the Obama administration.
The methane rule to us represents just basic common sense and fiscal conservatism. We should be capturing the public's resources where possible and not flaring gas off into the atmosphere or wasting it.
A recent Colorado College poll found 83% of Coloradans support the BLM's efforts to limit natural gas waste. Industry leaders claim the rules would add layers of red tape and slow production. The U.S. Senate could vote to reverse the rules as early as next week. Colorado Senator Michael Bennett opposes rolling it back, and Senator Cory Gardner has yet to say where he stands on the issue. In 2014, Colorado state regulators worked with industry to create regulations to prevent the loss of natural gas, which closely resemble the new BLM rules. But Banowski says Colorado's efforts don't prevent methane pollution from blowing in from other states. He adds taxpayers also lose royalties when gas is wasted, and some $330 million worth of natural gas is currently wasted every year.
That doesn't sound like a lot of money when there's a $19 trillion debt in Washington, D.C., but every little bit helps, and it just makes, to me, more efficient use of our public lands and the resources that belong to all American citizens.
Elected officials who signed a letter this week to U.S. senators in support of the BLM rules argue that they create jobs through new technologies developed to locate and fix leaks and also help reduce the air pollution that can cause asthma attacks and other respiratory problems. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And please stay tuned to KVNF for the regional newscast tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock and tomorrow evening at 5:50. We'll have Capitol coverage about a measure that would dramatically increase the fine in Colorado for texting and driving, as well as a story about an increase in the number of police-involved shootings in Colorado. We'll have those stories and more tomorrow on KVNF. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.